not only Friday, but it's the last Friday and the last day of 2021. And this, of course, is our last podcast of 2021. When we come back after the start of the new year, that will enter our third year of doing this podcast, our two-year anniversary. Jer, how you doing today?
Hey, Happy New Year. Almost Happy New Year.
Yes. Not only Happy New Year, but also congratulations on the birth of your third, a little daughter, and my sixth grandchild. So 2021, which may not have been a good year for a lot of folks, was a good year for us, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's get right into it. We did a poll, and there are two things that I would like to talk about at the end of the year. The first is politics. I mean, just where exactly does Joe Biden stand? I read the polls very carefully, but I trust ours, you know, more than anyone else. And so I do want to talk about that. And because we're heading into a very, very important election, you know, with Congress and its majority being held at the balance, what are the prospects now for the Democrats and Republicans? And then secondly, you had a number of pieces of this new poll, and you released some data about trust and distrust regarding mandates. And so you get the second half, and I would think probably the larger half of this discussion. How's that sound?
Well, the two releases tie into each other, so it sounds good.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into Biden, the Democrats, and the Republicans. So when we looked at Joe Biden's approval rating, our numbers were a little higher than many other polls that came out around the same time. They generally had Biden in the low 40s, 40 to 43% approval. We actually had him at 46% approval. And that is kind of like a borderline of acceptability. That's where George W. Bush was at about 46, 45 approval when he won re-election against John Kerry in 2004. But despite the fact that that number was pretty good, and for us in our polling anyway, showed probably the beginnings of a reversal of fortune for President Biden, there were some lurking shadows in the details of those numbers that I think spell trouble for Biden, for the Democrats, and that do not take the Democrats out of the woods as we leave one year and enter an election year. So he gets, in terms of approval, an 82%. Positive rating among Democrats. That's not good enough. Presidents should be at or close to 90% approval rating among their own party. That 82% is troubling, and you'll see why, especially in a moment. Now, 17% approval rating among Republicans actually is not bad. Kind of a little higher than normal. Obama would always get about 20% of Republicans when he was doing well in the polls. What is troubling, though, for Biden, and we'll see this also when we take a look at the numbers for Congress, is that he gets only a 37% approval rating among independents. 61% of independents disapprove of the job he's doing as president. That's a reversal of fortune. Back in 2020, he won independents by 20 percentage points, and now he's down 34 percentage points, 37-61. But his problems continue, and this is consistent with other polls. 54% of Hispanics give him a positive approval rating, 46% disapprove. Biden won with 70% of the Hispanic vote in 2020, put them over the top. There is something going on with Hispanic voters, not only in our poll, but in the polls of others as well. Hispanics, fundamentally a conservative group when it comes to social issues and traditional values. However, for the most part, they have been voting heavily as Democrats and voting on fiscal issues and the economy and so on. Put an asterisk next to that 54%. That's not good. 64% of Blacks approve of the president. That's a group where he needs 90% of the vote. And the fact that he is 64% approval, 32% disapproval. This is something that we started to see in our polling prior to the 2020 election, that particularly young Black men, not tectonically, not massively, but slowly and steadily entering into double-digit support for a Republican candidate, something to watch. And then I think what's particularly ominous then is that 18 to 29-year-olds, 46% approval rating, 52% disapprove. This is a group where he needs over 60% support. So if we look at the Obama and then the Biden winning coalition, we see from these numbers alone that the president has to step up his game. And he's going to need to step up his game before 2024. He's going to need to step it up right away. Let me end the polling side of things by saying, at this point in time, in another question, voters said that they prefer that Republicans hold a majority in Congress. 46% say that they prefer a Republican majority, 43% a Democratic majority. And let me tell you, as I noted in our news release when we released these numbers late last week, that normally when we get into these national numbers, Democrats need to have a 5-point advantage for them to hold on to what they have. The fact that they are at a 3-point disadvantage tells me that Republicans are poised to pick up perhaps a significant number of seats. I'll end on this note. How do independents stand? 45% want a Republican majority. Only 27% want a Democratic majority. That's even worse than the president is doing in his approval rating. Hispanics are evenly split. 44% want a Democratic majority, 45% a Republican majority. And very troubling, 69% of Blacks want a Democratic majority, but 21% say they want a Republican majority. Those are pretty, pretty ominous numbers as we move forward. What do you think?
Wow. That's some pretty comprehensive analysis. Thing that sticks out, the two things that stick out to me are the independents and the Hispanics. And the point that you made that Hispanics are fundamentally a conservative group. They strong Catholic background, traditional, we've been hearing over the past few years, don't call them Hispanics anymore, call them Latinx. I've been corrected a couple times recently. I just did a little online search to see, what's going on here with the Latinx. Pew Research did a poll of Hispanic Americans and found that something like 90% don't even use the term. So this is a
2%. 2% use the term.
Yeah, and a bunch of them aren't even familiar with it, and so this is a traditional group. It's interesting that they've been Democratic. They tended Democratic for a while. that could, that, you know, my interpretation, this could be wrong, could be the liberal sentiment of being more international, when liberal ideology tends to be more international in its outlook. And of course, many of these voters still speak Spanish. And of course, the Spanish language is huge in the Western Hemisphere. So there's that connection to just beyond America. But now maybe it looks to be, for the moment, that they're focusing more nationally in their orientation, and they're aligning with conservatives and the Republicans, and the data is showing that. I do think it's a lot of it has to do with the culture wars. I do think a lot of it has to do with the push from Democrats and what maybe conservative Hispanics could see, an attack against the family, the institution of the family, and an attack against things that we're familiar with. And so, you know, there's that part of it. And then the independents, in our polling, the independents are looking a lot more like Republicans. So what's going on there? All eyes on the independents as we head into 2022. What could possibly turn the independents around to go back to the Democrats? The Democrats would have to do a complete 180, which I don't think they can do. The Democrats are so attached to Build Back Better. They've made it such a big part of their program. Remember, going into the 2020 election, on election day, I released an issue of what I was writing then during that tracking that year, tracking COVID and the election 2020, an issue of the Intelligencer called The Reset or The Anchor, in which I said Americans went to the polls not voting for Trump versus Biden, but more or less when they looked at the voter card and determined who they were going to vote for, they were essentially looking at symbols. And there were images, essentially, of a reset button representing Biden and the Democrats, and an anchor representing the Republicans, and holding on to a semblance of familiar life. And that is where we are today, still a year later, that the Democrats have aligned themselves with the Davos crowd, with the Build Back Better, with the Great Reset. As I mentioned before, Justin Trudeau, Boris Johnson, the IMF, the European Union in general, Christine Lagarde, and all of the major players of that cloth, you could say, that intellectual mindset. And I think that's what's essentially shooting them in the foot, is more voters today are not ready to be thrust into a vortex of future shock, in which we talk about abandoning the life that we know today and just being sucked into a vortex of the future. And I think that's what has independents scratching their heads, what has Hispanics scratching their heads and looking to the anchor, a semblance of familiar life.
I think that's a very good analysis. And I think that the Republicans hold the mantle, as they have for a while now, but hold the mantle of anti-elite, just as the Democrats identify as the elite and identify themselves that way. Just a couple of comments about Hispanics. I think there's something else going on here, and we have to recheck the numbers. But I watched over the last over the previous decade, I saw the number of Hispanics in this country who identify themselves as born-again evangelical rise from 19% of the total to 25% of the total. And to be honest with you, I haven't tracked that number in the last 7 or 8 years, but I do know and I do hear that a fast-growing element in our communities are those storefront iglesias that you see in downtowns in small and larger cities, those small evangelical churches, which are very, very conservative, particularly, as you point out, on on traditional values. I think it'd be good to go back to our polling and do an analysis of who these Hispanics are. We also know that particularly in a state like Florida, you're getting anti-communist Venezuelans, continue Cubans, Nicaraguans, and others, mostly those three groups, though, that are coming in and are clearly anti-liberal, anti-Democrat, and so on.
Well, I would just add an element to that. Beyond anti-Democrat and anti-liberal, you know, if you come from Argentina, if you come from Venezuela, if you come from Colombia, Nicaragua, El Salvador, these are banana republics. These are third world nations. They, you know, Argentina didn't always used to be. Argentina used to be one of the top 10 richest nations in the world, but they have descended into chaos. They have, you know, whether it's hyperinflation, whether it's jackbooted thugs that knock on your door in the middle of the night and you disappear, they have fled that. Whether it's the prospect of going hungry, they have fled that. And now what's amazing is that since COVID, elements of the third world have now come to the first world in terms of a fear of authoritarianism, a fear of totalitarianism, of economic shock because of COVID. And so they carry those stories and they come here with the hope of a better life. And they're, you know, a lot of them can see that, hey, maybe these elements are knocking on our door. We're going to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Yeah, let me just clarify that Argentina has a troubled history of Peronism and of a horrible authoritarian dictatorship in the 70s and the 80s, where tens of thousands of people were rounded up in stadiums and...
Well, that's what I'm saying. But at the turn of the previous century, they were one of the richest nations in the world.
They were. So who do folks trust when it comes to dealing with COVID? Well, I mean, what have you found?
Well, what we're finding is that it looks to be that there's enough people who don't, and I'm extrapolating this data based on a question, there's enough people who don't trust the mandates that are coming out of the White House. And so we had a question, and this is what I'll reveal, is we asked people, is it right or is it wrong to disobey a mandate? And so essentially what we want to know is, do Americans equate mandate or executive orders, either or, do they equate it with law? Or do they equate it with you know, just some whimsical, arbitrary measure? And so we have here 39%, that's the plurality, say it's right to disobey a presidential mandate, but yet 36% say it's wrong. So the public is split and the rest are unsure. And so really, no surprise here, like in many things, there's a complete split. And so I took it to another level and I said, well, okay, so that tells me that there's a little bit of divide over maybe a national outlook and a more localized outlook. So let me ask this question. And we asked the respondents in the poll who they trust more and who they think has more legal authority. And that would be their own county sheriff or the FBI. Now, I know this doesn't play into COVID, but what it plays into is outlook in terms of, you know, we could say checks and balances, and at what point does federalism or the federal government have too much overreach? And so 46% side with their local sheriff, both in terms of trusting as well as being the final say of the law in that county. And 31% go with the FBI. Now, I came up with this question because there was an incident earlier in the year. I won't get into all the details, but essentially a man in Montana had woke up in the middle of the night and found that the feds were on his property. and there was a SWAT team ready to raid his house, and he went outside, and ultimately he was detained and he was arrested. Come to find out, he had been living previously in North Carolina with a girlfriend in a very tumultuous relationship, and the girlfriend had reported him to the feds across state line. I don't know what the details were, but the importance of the story is that the locals were outraged that the county sheriff never got wind of this. The feds had completely bypassed the county sheriff and went in and did what they had to do. And so that inspired the question, where do we see the law here? Who has the final say at the county level? Finally, one other question that I think can give us at least a sense of where things are headed as we get into 2022, the question of national mandates, more specifically the COVID-19 vaccine. We asked the respondents, is this more of a personal choice? Is this up to each and every individual to decide what they want to do? Or do you agree that the government should mandate the COVID-19 vaccine to Americans? And overwhelmingly, 53% of the voters opt for personal choice, over one third, 33%, who say government mandates. Now, obviously, there are people in the 53% who have received the vaccine and they wanted to get the vaccine and they think it's good, but to them, that doesn't mean it should be forced on others. So as we stand today, almost 2-1, 53% of Americans side with personal choice over government mandates. And I believe that as we go into 2022, we may have reached the tipping point, meaning that if this month or next month or in the coming months, there's a greater push to get the rest of the population vaccinated through mandates, you're going to see greater pushback from the public. I'm going to say one more thing. Most age groups side with personal choice 2-1, with the exception of those older than 65. And then looking at those with college degrees, 55% side with personal choice. So this isn't just a Republican thing. It's Republicans, it's independents, it's those younger than 65, it's those college educated.
If President Donald Trump had issued mandates or a mandate, would Democrats have obeyed it?
That's a wonderful question.
Would they have considered it an overreach? What's that?
That's a wonderful question. And it's too bad that the operation, we could say this, Operation Warp Speed was in existence for about a month and nearly 20 million Americans went to get vaccinated. It's a question, is those 20 million, were they mainly Democrats or was it about even?
Let's store this and consider asking it the next time we go around, because we do know that former President Trump did announce that he'd gotten a booster shot and that he's taking flack, no numbers yet, but he's taking flack from conservatives and being charged with selling out on that. Mm-hmm. And that's a troublesome theme throughout the 2 years we've been doing this about just the hyper-partisanship. We used to be able to ask, is the country heading in the right direction or is it off on the wrong track? And we'd get a sense from that. Today, you can count on Democrats saying right direction, Republicans saying wrong track. When Trump, and then previous to that, George W. Bush were president, it was the flip side. If my guy's in, things are good. If my guy's out, things are bad. In any event, why don't we end on that theme? I think a lot of useful information. We're going to be releasing bits and pieces of this poll as we go on into the future. But 2 years we've been doing this. Happy New Year to you and your family and to everybody else who's stayed loyal and watching and to new viewers as well.
Oh, thank you so much for tuning in. We have 98 episodes. More to come, and on the release of future data, we've got a library of data. I've got questions on the future in terms of the fourth industrial revolution, the Great Reset, where some of the biotechnology wants to go and where the public stands behind that. And then, of course, we have your classic questions on religion, and the numbers are fascinating. So we look forward to releasing those as well.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Happy New Year.